1 Samuel chapter 3 and look in verse 19. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. You be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you tonight for your wonderful mercy and your grace tonight. Lord, we are glad that you come a long, long way from heaven just to save us tonight. Lord, just to give your life so that we might have eternal life and that in you. Lord, if you don't come by tonight and help hearts, Lord, all I'm going to try to do is preach what you give us tonight, but it's going to take the working and that of the Holy Spirit in my words. I'd work in folks' heart tonight. And Lord, I pray that this will be a blessing to your people. Lord, I pray Holy Spirit conviction would fall on those that need it tonight. And Lord, direction would be found and exhortation would be found in those that need it too. Face one lost, save them tonight. Deal with their heart. And Lord, help us and anoint us afresh and touch us from heaven tonight. For we certainly need you. And we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the choir singing the special singing. Now bless the preaching hour. Save the sinner's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. I want to be preaching tonight with a thought on spiritual maturity. As we look here, as it talks about Samuel, the Bible says that Samuel grew. Now, I believe that the Bible, as it talks about as Samuel grew, he grew physically. I believe that's what the Bible is referring to right here. He was a little boy when his mother Hannah took him and back to the tabernacle and gave him to Eli. And the Bible says over here in verse 1, and the child, Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And so by the time we get over here to verse 19, the Bible does not call Samuel a child anymore, but he has grew, and the Lord was with him. Now let me say today that if a child does not grow, there is something wrong with it. Is that not right? If it grows too slow, there's something wrong. If it grows too fast, there's something wrong. And let me say this tonight, children grow at different rates. Did you know that? Not every one of them's going to get, you know, the doctors have a chart. And if your child does not fit within that chart, then there may be something wrong with that child. I find it hard to believe that they can make a chart for every child in the world and cram them inside that chart. I don't believe that tonight, amen? And that's the same with spirituality tonight. I think all of us try to cram people into our thought of how people ought to grow spiritually and how they ought to mature. Now, as I preach tonight, I know that I'm preaching to people on different spiritual levels sitting in here tonight. Hey, we've got folks sitting here that's been saved for 50 years or better, and we've got some that's just been saved for a few years, and everybody in between, and not everybody is on the same spiritual level. Now, let me say this tonight, that just because you've got age and because you're old does not make you spiritually mature. Listen, the Bible said in Proverbs 16 that the hoary head is the crown of glory. That white hair, that gray hair, he said that it is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Listen, not everybody is spiritually mature when they're old. Not everybody is spiritually mature just because they got gray and white hair on them. Hey, Hebrews said in chapter 5, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so we find right here that he said, look, he was talking to the people here, and he said this is a time that you ought to be teachers, but you need to go back to the primer class. He said, you are not spiritually mature where you should be to be as old as you are. And so let me say tonight that if we've not spiritually matured in our Christian life after being saved sometime, that friend, that there's something wrong. I watched a lot of people in church over the years because they would not read their Bible.
Amen. Or they would read what they already knew. You run into people like that. They'll read their Bible, but they're only going to read what they already believe. They're afraid of anything else of what they don't believe. And so they're not going to grow or mature spiritually. Hey, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells us, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I have preached on that, well, I won't say several times, I've preached on it a couple of times and made reference to it several times. If you grow in grace only, then you'll have liberalism. If you grow in knowledge only, you'll have legalism. So there must be a growth, both of grace and that of knowledge, and put them together, and you can have spiritual maturity. To grow in grace and knowledge, you've got to give yourself up. To grow spiritually mature, you have to put away childish things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, as he talked about charity, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So for a child to grow and shift from being a child into a young adult and then into an adulthood, those childish things have to be put away. Ain't that right? I don't think Chad comes home from work back there and gets his Hot Wheels out and plays. He might play with Gunner, I don't know. It's always the thought of having a boy in the house. You'd have some fun. He'd play Hot Wheels, you know. I still remember Daddy playing with me when I was a kid. I do, and things like that. But that's because there's a child in the house. But how do we mature tonight? How do we mature? And we're going to look at two things. How do we mature? And what happens when we do mature? First of all, we mature by the Word of God. I think that's simple tonight. You get saved by the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It wasn't a fairy tale that the preacher preached. It wasn't some story that the preacher preached. That gets people saved, got me saved, or what some Sunday school teacher said. Listen, it was because the Bible, and that was preached. Amen. Hey, it takes the Bible, the Word of God, and that to get folks saved. I'm telling you, that's why just these little tracts right here. Listen, there's enough Bible on the back of them things to get anybody saved. Listen, it tells them what Jesus, it tells them they're a sinner. It tells them the wages of sin is death. It tells them if they'll confess their sins, He'll forgive them and tells them to call out on the Lord. Amen. Now, I wish I could get Romans 10 and 9 and 10 on there too, and maybe we'll make them a little bigger and get it on there. But listen, there's enough Bible on this thing to get folks saved. And it don't take a whole lot. You know that? It don't take a whole lot to get folks saved. But tonight, listen, it's not only the Word of God that saves us, but it is the Word of God as we read it and as we study it and as we apply it, it matures us in our Christianity tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, you should know this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You cannot grow without the Word of God. You cannot grow. You cannot mature without the Bible. Listen, folks, they always want to tell me what they think or the way they think it ought to be. I ain't concerned about what you think or what they think or what I even think tonight. I'm more concerned about what the Bible says than what anybody thinks. Listen, the Bible said when Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Hey, the Word of God was important to Samuel while he grew. Ought to be important to you tonight. He said, well, I am mature spiritually. That's good tonight. Then you ought to keep reading and try to gain maturity in the Lord tonight. Listen, you have to study this Bible. I remember when I began to grow and mature in my Christian life, I was when I fell in love with this book. I'll be honest with you. Two things happened. Two things happened. I met my wife And she had a daddy that would read the Bible. And you'd walk in their house, and a mother too, by the way, but you'd walk in their house and the Bible would be open. It just wouldn't be sitting there, it'd be open. You know, you go over to their house today, it's the same way. Hey, listen, not only that, but I had a pastor. I love Brother Randy Brandon for this. He challenged me to fall in love with the Word of God. That changed my whole life in my maturity with God when he challenged me to fall in love with this book. Made all difference in the world. If you'd fall in love with this book and the God of this book and read it and study it and pray while you read and say, God, give me some direction. Let the pages light up. I can remember when I was first learning and reading and studying and taking it for what it said and serious about it. Man, the pages would light up on this thing. Not that it don't light up now, but man, I just loved it back and still love it when it does have. But I mean, it would just jump off the page at you and look at you. Boy, I tell you, Job, he desired the Word of God so much and loved it so much. He said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than mine necessary. So Job said, I'd rather have the Word of God than to have what I need and that to eat to survive. My necessary food. You know, when we get concerned about the Word of God more than our necessary food. I love to eat, man. If you can't look at me and tell that. I love to eat. And I was thinking today while I was getting ready, fasting would do all of us some good. You may fast. And I can remember after I started pastoring, I can remember when Zeke was in the hospital for the first time and we come home and I remember having to learn how to fast. My old flesh hated that thing. It did. My flesh hated fasting. It still hates fasting. But you know, you ain't going to die from missing three meals. You may feel like it. My wife learned the hard way. We was fasting one time there one day as she was coming off a fast and she wanted some chocolate milk coming off of it. That was a bad idea. Don't drink chocolate milk coming off a fast. You might want to scramble you some eggs and drink some orange juice or something. I don't know. But listen tonight. And I'm not bragging about fasting tonight because then I'll have my own reward. But I want to tell you, it do us good. And that to fast and study and read our Bible out of where we might grow and mature in Him. But as we read and as we study and as we pray and seek God and say, Lord, just open this book to us. And, Lord, let me have something out of it. Then there is some fruit that begins to bear and that out of our life. Now, I could spend all night where I'm fixing to go, but I just want to look. Go to Galatians 5 and look at the fruits of the Spirit. And I think as we grow maturely, then these things begin to show up in our life. You know what makes you spiritual tonight? Your maturity in Christ. That's what will make you spiritual tonight. Listen. I can remember, as you're going, I can remember years ago at the church where my mom and dad was going at that time, the preacher called and asked me to preach on a Sunday night. And they were used probably to about 25 minutes. And I'm pretty sure this is what the Lord wanted. I preached on these fruits of the Spirit. And I think I held them a little longer than what they used to. But look right here what he said in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Let me say that first of all, when spiritual maturity begins to happen, when we get saved, now listen, just because you got saved does not mean spiritual maturity happens. It means you got saved. I mean, you got born again. You got a home in heaven. You miss hell. And you got a heavenly Father. Amen. And Jesus Christ who loves you and puts you part of the family tonight. And when you get saved, before you can grow, then the old man has to die. You realize that. The old man, when you got saved, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So, I mean, the old man has got to die, but your flesh, you've got to get your flesh and that crucified. I've got to get my flesh and that crucified for us to be able to grow spiritually mature for the Lord. Now, it's one thing to get saved, but it's another thing to crucify your flesh. He said, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts." You ever seen somebody that tells you they're saved, and they may be saved, but their flesh is ruling what they want to do? I have. I have, and I hope that ain't you tonight. I certainly hope it ain't me. I don't believe it is. But listen tonight. He said in 1 Peter 4, he said, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he hath suffered in the flesh. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." And he said, if Christ done that, then we need to do that. He said, if Christ is going to live the rest of his time in the flesh, not to the lust of men, but to the will of God, then we need to do that. So if you're going to grow spiritually mature, then you must do what verse 24 said and crucify the flesh with the affections and the lusts. 1 Peter 2, he said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Romans 13, he said, "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." You know why Paul tells us to do that? Because we can make provision for the flesh. You can sin if you want to sin. You don't have to grow spiritually mature if you don't want to grow spiritually mature. You can stay stunted in your growth and stay right where you're at. But I have found that being spiritually mature is a whole lot better than being, how can we put this, spiritually immature. You ever dealt with somebody that is immature? If you have had children, then you know what that's like. It's hard to reason with a child, ain't it? I mean, they're a kid. You can't reason with children. You can't. Why? They're children. A lot of them don't reason that well. They don't have the capability. But you know, it's even worse when you can't reason with adults, ain't it? I mean, when they should have the ability to reason with what you're trying to say, trying to get them to see, it's bad. And you know, that's the same way it is with spiritually immature Christians. When you give them something from the Bible, listen, and they can't take it, there's something wrong. If you go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, let me go back and read you what he said right here. What did he say right here? In Hebrews chapter 5, he said, "Well, the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first princes, the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." You know, it's okay to have only milk when you are a babe. You understand what I'm saying? When you have somebody that is just born again in Christ, they are a babe, they're going to be unskillful in the Word of God, and the milk is all they're going to be able to grasp, I think, until they begin to mature and read the Bible. You understand? Y'all understand what I'm saying? These youngins we got around here, you can't give them a whole lot to eat. They start out on milk, don't they? Your children started out on milk. You started out on milk. Spiritually, you started out on milk, didn't you? And you grew. And so it's the same thing. But as we grow, there are some things that begin to happen in our life. In verse 22, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Do you know that we get our love right when we grow maturely? Do you know, we get our love right for God. You know, he said over in the mansion, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." We get all that right, don't we? When we begin to grow mature, or at least we're striving to get it right. Our love for the Lord Jesus Christ gets in place like it ought to be. Our love for one another, our love for our spouse gets in the right place. don't it? You know, you ought to be teaching your children tonight to be praying about that. And what let them watch you, moms and dads, in how to love one another. Amen. Not only tell them, but show them. I mean, the love ought to be right. The book of Titus says, for the elder women, and that to teach the younger women, to love their husbands, and to love their wives. Ephesians 5 said, for the husband is to love the wife, as Christ loved the church, and gave himself for it. There ought to be love in the home. So when you spiritually mature, your love becomes right in the home. Does not matter what happens, who says what takes place, but as we spiritually mature, we learn and that to love each other right in the home. I think a lot of homes would not bust up if they would just get their love in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they could get their love right one for another. Got to be careful how I say what I am about to say, because I don't want to say it wrong, because I got to go home with this young lady over here. We've been married for almost 25 years, and I love her different now than I did 25 years ago. My love for her is far different. Even though she does not sit next to me in the vehicle. When we were first dating, I had a vehicle, had two vehicles. Had a big seat in both of them. She sat right over here next to me while we were going down the road. She ain't done that in years, Brother Jeff. Got another vehicle, that's right. Amen. Oh, get another vehicle. That's right. I'd still say she'd sit over on the passenger side. But see, the reason I love her different is our time that we have spent together. That makes me love her different. We have grown closer, not further apart. And listen, because of that, even when things ain't going real good sometimes, listen, I still love her because I've not only matured in that love toward her, but I have matured in my love for the things of Christ. He will help you in your home is what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Your love one for another will increase and get right. Hey, listen, in Matthew 22, after he talked about love the Lord thy God by thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind, and he said, Satan's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Our love will begin to come out for each other. The world will pick up on that. Did you know that? They'll see it. They'll see it. Hey, listen, he said, but it's touching brotherly love. You have no need that one right. He said, teach your brother, you need not that. But I write unto you, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Romans 12, he said, let love be without dissimulation. That's without hypocrisy. Let it be real. Your love will be right towards sinners. You'll want to win them to Christ. Amen. Hey, the Bible said in Luke 19:10, for some man's come seeking to save that which was lost. If we have the love of Christ in us tonight, we'll want to win somebody to Christ. Hey, we'll love the things of God. Listen, we'll not only have our home set up straight with love, we'll not only be loving our wives right, our husbands right, children right. Listen, you'll love church people right. You'll love the things of God, His book, His house, His man, His music. Ed, your love will just be right when you spiritually mature in Christ. But then he said, you joy. See, I told you I wasn't going to hang out too long because if I did, we'd be here all night. But he talks about joy right there. And joy is a happiness or what means to rejoice tonight. How many of us can rejoice tonight? You know, spiritual maturity gives joy. But it gives joy in the right things. You know, we do joy in salvation. We should joy and rejoice in salvation. Hey, if you're saved tonight, there ought to be a joy on the inside. Something make you raise your hand and say, praise the Lord, thank God, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Amen. It should be joyful tonight. We should have joy in our answered prayer. When God helps, in blessings, we should have joy tonight. But we should not joy in the wrong things. You know, there's a lot of people that gain joy out of worldly things. Rejoice in worldly things. How much do we rejoice in worldly things versus what we rejoice in spiritual things? I'm not telling you can't go out in the world and play putt-putt and all those things and have a good time. If I go play putt-putt and I beat my wife, man, I'm going to have some joy. Amen. And if she beats me, she'll have joy too. I shall tell you, I'm a lot worse winner than I am a loser tonight. I like to win. I play to win. I want to win. I mean, the Bible said fight the good fight of faith. Fight to win, man. So everything I do to win. I just believe that tonight. Amen. But he said, don't even rejoice when the enemy falls. When we spiritually mature, our joy will be right. He said in Proverbs 24, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. Hey, when those that are against you fall, and your enemy falls, do we joy and rejoice and take pleasure in the fact that they fail? If we do, there's something wrong. Our spiritual maturity is not there. Proverbs 17 said, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. He said in 1 Corinthians 13:6, when he was talking about charity over there, he said, rejoice, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Even when hard times come, we can still rejoice and have joy. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Hey, when we spiritually mature, our love is right, but our joy is right. A lot of people rejoice in the wrong thing. Then he said, but love and joy and then peace. Salvation brings peace to our heart. We understand that. And having made peace through His blood, through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. Christ made peace at Calvary. Hey, the Bible said in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's peace. But Isaiah chapter 26 said, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me because he trusteth in me. You know when we lose our trust in the Lord? You ever had a crisis of faith where your faith got weak? I have. And you know what? It's hard to have any peace when you're having a crisis of faith. It's hard to have any joy when you're having a crisis of faith. And he said right here, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because he trusteth in me. Hey, listen, when we lose our trust in the Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, the righteous tonight, we'll lose our peace if we're not careful tonight. But when it all goes bad and it all goes south, as the saying is, we can still have peace if we're trusting Him. You ever seen people, man, I mean the world was coming against them. Everything was falling apart. But yet they still exhibited the peace of God in their life. They had some spiritual maturity about them. Can I tell you tonight that as His people we are to try our best to keep the peace. You go to Ephesians chapter 4, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're to do it every work to keep peace, to be peaceful, to work in peace. So as we spiritually mature, as we read the Bible and we grow in the Lord, our love becomes right, our joy becomes right, our peace becomes right. And boy, here's a big one right here. Then our long-suffering becomes right. Now, it's easy sometimes to have love, joy, and peace. But it's a little harder to have long-suffering sometimes. I think long-suffering is exactly what it says it is. It's long-suffering. It means to suffer long. It allows us, when we have spiritually matured, or are maturing. I don't think any of us have reached perfection yet, nor will we reach perfection until we get to heaven. Amen. Now, I'm perfect in Christ. I understand that tonight, but you understand what I'm saying too. There's always room to be worked on. The old child song, you know, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. What was it? Taking just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How beautiful, is that right? How beautiful and patient he must be. He's still working on me. He's still working on us tonight. Listen, he said right here about long suffering. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Actually, I just quoted a few. Let's go over there. Ephesians 4. Go there with me. In Ephesians 4. It's just right over from Galatians there. Look in verse 1. Ephesians 4 and 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The only way you can walk worthy of the vocation of what God has called you to do for Him is you have to spiritually mature. You have to. Now, you got to be headed in that direction. I understand we're not there yet. I know that. But friend, we've got to be headed in that way. He said, with all lowliness, verse 2, and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. So he said right here in Ephesians 4 and 2, he says, as we walk worthy of the vocation, he said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Then look in verse 3, just read it, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So as we mature spiritually, let's go back to Galatians. He said that I believe our long suffering with people is going to get better. How easy is it? Now, I do believe there comes a time. I've got to be careful what I say here too. With love, there comes a time that some people's just got to know what's right. Sometimes long suffering runs out. I think if people are taking advantage of you and they're using you, we pray for them. We do that. But you know, there comes a time that something's got to be said. You follow what I'm saying tonight? And we learn that with prayer and seeking God. You know, he says over, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but he says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, he said, brethren, he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be timid. Hey, it was time to go see that fellow. Not, it wasn't time to be long-suffering. It was time to go see that feller and fix some things. You know, there comes a time you just need to go fix some things. It ain't long-suffering time. It's time to fix it. But the Lord does teach us, as we spiritually mature, to have patience and to be long-suffering with people and to be long-suffering in that in situations that He's got us in. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. To get our flesh under control, to be long-suffering. That's not something that is fun to do. It even holds the word suffering in it, don't it? Think about that for just a second. Long suffering. It don't say long happiness. It says long suffering. Think about it for just a minute. Let that dwell in your heart. As you mature and as I mature spiritually, the Lord's going to help us to bear out that long suffering in our life. Boy, it's getting exciting, ain't it? Let's move on. I've done a hole somehow. Then he says, gentleness. That word means to be mild or soft. First Thessalonians, Paul said, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse. Man, I have talked like Bugs Bunny all day. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So Paul's told the church at Thessalonica, he said, we were gentle among you when we come in. You know, a lot of preachers, they like to be bold and brash. There's a difference between being bold and being rude and ugly. Amen. I was being honest. There's a far difference in that tonight. I've sat under a lot of them over the years that what they've called bold preaching, I was just being mean, if you want to know the truth tonight. They were trying to be mean. They were striving to be me. I'm not interested in that. I hope you're not interested in that. Hey, listen, I ain't trying to be mean tonight. I'm trying to give you something that'll help you and that grow in your spiritual life tonight. He told me, as the pastor in Titus chapter 3, he said to speak evil of no man and to be no brawlers but gentle, as showing all meekness unto all men. He told me to be gentle. Got to be gentle. Got to be mild and soft. That means you can't be a man and stand up for what's right. But listen, when you deal with people and you deal with situations, just need to be gentle. My wife, bless her heart, she'll tell me every now and again, now, the buyer's creeping out on you again. You're becoming that buyer. You better back up. And I'm glad she does that. She's good at that. I'm glad she does that. You understand what I mean by that? I'm glad she does that. Gentleness. Look at goodness. You know, as we grow maturely, that word is what it is tonight. It just means to be good. We'll just be good. We'll be good people. I don't know any other way. We'll have good works. We'll have good actions. We'll have good reactions. I don't know any other way to describe that tonight. We'll just be good people. But then look what he said, faith. As we mature in the Lord, our faith matures. Until you try the Lord, you'll never know what it's like to have faith. I mean, other than just stepping out for faith on salvation, you come and you trust Him and you put your faith in Him to save you. And that's the greatest amount of faith that you could ever have. You're trusting Him to save your eternal soul to get you to heaven. The greatest amount of faith is putting Him at salvation. And then we struggle the rest of our lives sometimes and that to trust Him for other things. To trust Him. But I believe as we mature spiritually and those fruit begins to bear out in our life, that our faith will begin to grow and it'll begin to mature and we'll learn how to step out in it. We'll learn how to fight the battle because of it. And folk will be able to see it. You ever seen folk with great faith? You ever seen them? I have. You know, a lot of times, It's kind of like folk that are humble. A lot of times they don't even realize it. Folk with great faith, a lot of times I don't even know if they realize it or not. They're just living for the Lord and trusting the Lord. And you sit and you watch their life and they're just simply living by faith. As we grow in Him, our faith in Him should grow. We should be able to place our faith in Him. Say, Lord, I need You to handle this situation, or I'm trusting You to take care of this right here. And Lord, whatever. And you know, sometimes we want the Lord to handle everything when sometimes He wants us to handle some things. So I think our prayer should be, Lord, You handle what You need to handle and You show me what I need to and I'll take care of my part. And you know what? I'm determined that He will tonight. And you'll be blessed because of living by faith tonight. That will grow. Your faith will grow as you grow maturely. Your faith may be weak tonight. Where is your maturity in Christ? Meekness. A soft temper, a mild temper. When our strength is under control. Paul put it like this in 1 Corinthians 4. He said, What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love and in the spirit of meekness. Well, so how would you rather that I come to you? You want me to come with a rod or with love and meekness? He's talking about gentleness and kindness and goodness. He's talking about a soft temper. How would you rather me come? So Paul says, the writer, yeah, Paul says, one of the things that we mature in and comes out in our life, fruit bears. And I guess I should have said this at the beginning of the message. You know, a tree only bears fruit until only begins to bear fruit when it's mature. So he talks about meekness right here. We talked about it a few weeks ago, brethren, if man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in a spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, let's also be tempted. He didn't say go down there with a rod and beat them into submission. He didn't say go down there and berate them. He said go down there with a spirit of meekness, with that mildness, with that softness of temper, with your strength under control, and go down there and restore them. Colossians 3, he said, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. But then he ends up with temperance, our self-control. So it kind of makes the full circle here back to temperance. When we are mature, we are able to control our flesh better. I was listening to Brother Ralph preach the other day and hadn't never really gave a lot of thought to this. But you know, I still fight the battle and still fight temptations, but I don't fight the same things that I fought at 18 years old. I don't fight the same thing that I fought at 21 years old. Those battles have changed along the way. Why? I've crucified some things with the flesh. You understand? You understand tonight? Crucified some things. Listen, that temperance says, as I have grown maturely, in Christ, spiritual maturity, my temperance has grown also the control of my flesh. We do not have to sin. We do not have to let temptation get the best of our flesh tonight. We do not have to let our temper get the best of us. But we can maintain control of it by the help of the Lord. He said, and Samuel grew. So let me ask you, how much have you grew tonight? Have we grew in the Lord? I would like to think, as I look across the house tonight, that I would like to think that we do have a house of spiritual, mature Christians tonight. And at least those trying to strive to be spiritually mature. I'm still working on it. As I was studying for this, and I've told you this story a couple of times, when I worked a public job, when I was working with Millwright Company, I was their electrician and pipe fitter. And I remember they didn't have our checks ready one day. And that's a bad thing on Friday afternoon. And you're ready to go home, and they ain't got your checks ready. And the secretary said, you're going to have to go meet the boss man down at the bank. And I let out of my mouth, I said, I don't want to go to the bank. Now, I didn't tell her that. I mumbled that on the way out the door. And I had no more let that get out of my mouth. And I thought to myself, Mark Latham, you sound no more than like a child when you said that. It ain't going to hurt you to drive 3 miles down to the bank and meet the boss man to get your money. You know, a lot of times if we're not careful, even though we have gained a little bit of spiritual maturity, we can still act spiritual immature if we're not careful. We can. Even though we've matured, son, if we're not careful, the devil or our flesh will get the better of us one day. And we won't act like we need to act. Amen? Listen, he said in Samuel grew. How much have you grew tonight? Let's bow our heads across the house. I pray the message has been a help to you. Listen, if you need to come and pray tonight, I want you to come. We're going to have no singing tonight. And if you need to come, God has spoke to your heart. Maybe there's some things you need to work on. Maybe it's your daily Bible reading. Maybe it's your prayer time. You may have some long-suffering trouble. Maybe peace has been robbed out of your heart tonight. I don't know. Maybe you got temperance trouble. You say, I just need some help. I need some help. Grow and mature in Christ. Listen tonight. If you need to come and pray, I'm going to quit talking. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come tonight. If you're lost, I want you to come and get saved.